Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Allie on the Run show. I'm your host, Allie Feller, and today you're listening to episode 25. On this episode, I am so excited to be joined by one of my favorite humans, Bethany Lyons. Bethany is the co-owner and founder of Lion's Den Power Yoga, a hot yoga studio here in New York City, and she has a great story of what got her to open her own yoga studio, because, spoiler, that was not the plan. She was a dancer, and then she worked at Crunch, and she was the first hire at SoulCycle, so she's got a really cool background and story to how she became an entrepreneur. Bethany is full of wisdom and advice, so I am not going to talk anymore. Sit back, relax. By that, I obviously mean get running, even though this one's about yoga, and enjoy my conversation with Bethany Lyons. All right, we are here with Bethany Lyons, the owner and founder of Lion's Den Power Yoga here in New York City. And if you've been around the Allie on the Run show or the Allie on the Run blog for more than 2 seconds, this is a familiar name for you. You've heard about Bethany because she has been in my life for a while. So before we get to that, we start this with a warm-up, because I'll preface it. Bethany's not a runner.
No, I'm definitely not a runner. I really dislike running, to be honest with you. And if you see me running, it is because either I'm being chased or I am extremely angry. Like, if I'm really mad, then I'll tell my husband, John, I'm like, I'm going for a run. And then he knows.
Things I've never heard you say. No. I'm going for a run.
Yeah, that's because I don't run.
But Bethany deals with a lot of runners in her everyday life. A lot of runners go to her yoga studio, myself included. And we met when Bethany was an instructor at Crunch Gym. Mm-hmm. But again, before we get to that, what I was going to say is we start every episode with a warm-up, because that's something runners are supposed to do.
Great.
Start with a warm-up. So warm us up. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and what you do.
Okay. My name is Bethany Lyons. I live now in Chelsea in Manhattan. I am originally from Chicago, then moved to outside of Cleveland, then moved to Bucks County, Pennsylvania. So I'm from the Midwest. I just slowly was crawling my way to New York City my whole life. And what I do is I empower people. I teach yoga, and I also am an entrepreneur and own a studio in Manhattan that is growing to 2 studios actually this month.
Yay. And we met when Bethany, before she became the founder of Lion's Den, she taught at Crunch Gym. Mm-hmm. So I'll just quickly tell the story of how we met, or I'll let you jump in. But I was newish to New York City. I joined Crunch because I was like, ooh, this gym seems really cool and trendy, and it's also very close to my apartment. And I started off with like the chisel strength training class that I was super into. And then I started doing spinning. And one day I was like signed up for my favorite spin class. I was like all jazzed about it. And then I see the sign that's like sub.
Oh my God, it's the worst, isn't it?
It's the worst. And I was like, should I just not go? Like, I really want to take class with Matt. He's my fave. But like, I guess I'll take this chick's class, this like Bethany Lyons character. And so Bethany was the sub for spin that day. And of course it like blew my mind. It was the best class ever. And I should also say I sat in the very back row because I was like so foul about
and like pissy
being
about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Angry. And I didn't know you. You were
of
just
course.
Like a random chick.
No, you show up and you're expecting one thing and then you get something else. That's always the life of subbing. You know, when you walk in the door, everyone hates you. It doesn't matter who you are. And then you have to win them over. But then if you win them over, then it's on.
You're gold. Mm-hmm. Well, you won me over.
Clearly.
From the back row, where I was like, I'm not even going to try. Like, what a good attitude I had. Things I would never get away with now. God, you would find me in that back row. But I loved your class. And then you also taught, like, that wacky body art class, mm-hmm. which was, like, yoga, dance, modern dance.
Martial arts.
It was very
Pilates.
Strange. But something about it kept me going back every week.
I think it was me. It
must have been you. So much.
I taught
too.
Everything there. I was regional manager for Crunch. And then every time we did new programming, I was sort of like, Bethany will do it. Bethany will teach it.
Did you invent body art, that class?
No, 100% not. An amazing man named Robert and his partner Julia designed that class and created it. And it's won awards. And it's actually a really like amazing workout.
Well, We got to know each other in that class.
We did.
Because you had, that's when you learned my name. Because I was always doing that one move wrong. It was like you were supposed to be pulling a bow and arrow, and it was very clear that I had never even seen what a bow and arrow does. And I was
the Hunger Games hadn't come out yet.
No, and I was like pointing it like a water gun, and which I had also clearly never used one of those. Anyway, I was just a mess every week, and Bethany was always like, other way, Allie, other foot forward. And I was just like smiling. I was like loving life.
I'm going to have to bring back that move in yoga one of these days.
Please don't. I'll do it wrong still. But so you taught body art and then you went on to teach at SoulCycle.
Yes.
So tell me, let's go back to the beginning of your life because you've had an interesting career. You went to Syracuse, mm-hmm. which I love, and this is where I get to say, like, Syracuse was one of my top two schools when I was choosing colleges. I really wanted to be in the communications program there. The mm-hmm. Newhouse School was a pretty big deal. But I didn't get in, so...
Sorry, I did.
You're so mean.
I'm sorry, you teed that one up,
it's
lady.
It's fine. I got into Syracuse, but I did not get into the Newhouse School. Mm. They're like, you're waitlisted for the school, so you're welcome to join us.
And then you transfer in. That's actually what a lot of people do.
Yeah, well, I was like, I'm not taking a chance. Also, it looks real cold there. I'm going to go to Quinnipiac in Connecticut with all the fancy kids from Long Island and North Jersey. And I was like the outcast. Everyone had Louis Vuitton bags. And I was like, what are those marks all over your bags? Anyway, I didn't fit in. But congrats on getting into Syracuse. I'm super psyched for you.
Thank you. It has served me well, even though I'm in, you know, the fitness and yoga world and all of that. I was in advertising in Newhouse. I actually did creative ad in Newhouse. And I think our class had like 12 when we graduated. You know, like that little
12
niche.
Humans?
12 people in creative ad or something like that. It was pretty small. But I use it for what I do now in my business, you know? I mean, I use so much of what I got there, even though it's been a really roundabout way.
But did you go to school saying one day I want to own a yoga studio?
100% no.
What did you want to do?
So I was a dancer, right?
Same. And
yeah, I know. Same. So I was a dancer and ballet and modern mostly. And I originally just wanted to go to school for dance. And then that was pretty much off the table via Russ Lyons, a.k.a. my dad, a.k.a. the yoga engineer now.
He didn't want you to be a dancer?
Well, no, he just said, I'm not going to spend this amount of money for you to, like, break your ankle and then be done. So you need to find something else that you want to do, and you can also do that. And I was like, okay.
Fair, Russ. That's fair.
Right. So I was like, okay, communications. So I went to the top three communications schools. That's what I applied to.
Top three? Yeah.
Well, I didn't get into Northwestern. And then it was between BU and CUSE. And then I got a better scholarship at CUSE. So.
Oh, wow. And you got a scholarship. This is just, I'm like so happy for you. Let's talk more.
Celebrate successes, Allie Feller. Okay, so.
I mean, it all worked out fine.
It did. You love me now. So anyway, that's how I ended up. But I went and I minored in, I created my own minor, actually. I accosted the musical theater department there and wouldn't leave them alone until they would create a minor for me that was choreography, dance, and movement. So I was able to go to all, you weren't allowed to take dance classes there if you weren't in the musical theater program. And I would just show up. And then the dance instructors, I think, were like, it was like food for the starving, you know, because it was like musical theater people who aren't necessarily really into ballet. And then I just started taking classes. So then I got the instructors, I got the professors on my side to then petition to create a minor.
That's amazing.
That's how that happened. So I left school. I did some PR and advertising and was dancing with a small company.
And what outside kind of Philly. Dance?
Ballet. Just like, I mean, super small company outside Philly.
Like not any great. Straight up Jody Sawyer.
Not Jody Sawyer. But thank you for thinking that. Really wish that was the case. And I had a rehearsal that was canceled. Ended up in a yoga class by accident. I was totally like that girl that came in late, opened the door loudly, was asking questions, and they were all like shushing me, trying to get me to be quiet. Because apparently there was only a curtain between the like front desk area and the studio because it was this little small studio. And at the time I was dancing like 40 hours a week. And I took class with this Swedish woman named Anna. And she taught a Baptiste power flow class or inspired class, which is the style of yoga that we practice at the Den now. I had no idea what it was. And it was in a dark room, a hot room. There were no mirrors. And this woman, like, kicked my ass, like, big time. And I was like, this is going to be great cross training, period. Like, I'm going to get sick abs, better flexibility for dance. I will do this every day. Really, really great yoga mindset.
Yeah.
So that's how I started taking yoga. I would go before every rehearsal. And then maybe like 2 or 3 months in, I feel like it was pigeon pose or something. I was in some hip opener and the teacher didn't even say this, but I just started getting like emotional. And I'm like, what is happening to me? This is so bizarre. And I just ended up getting a lot more out of it than I ever thought was possible and or that I was going for.
Yoga is so sneaky in that way.
So sneaky, man.
I hate when I realize I'm a better person and it's because of yoga. I'm like, I can't even take credit for this. Like, every time that I'm like in a crowded space and I don't punch someone in the face, mm-hmm. I'm like, that's yoga right there.
But you did the yoga, so you can take credit for it.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, ego-wise, you can.
Oh, ego-wise, I take credit for everything. Yes. That's not a problem.
You know.
Except getting into Syracuse, it didn't help me there, so that's too bad. So you started taking yoga. You got
okay.
Some
so
sick
then,
abs.
Yeah. So then I just started doing yoga all the time. And then a couple years in, the studio owner asked me if I wanted to teach. She's like, "You'd be a great teacher."
And how does that happen? Like, were you a presence in class, or like, was she like, "You're good at yoga"? What was it about you that made her ask that question?
Well, number one, I mean, I had a really great asana practice, we'll say. Not actual practice of yoga. There's 8 limbs of yoga, but like the physical practice, clearly I was very good at because of what I had done in my body and everything. Number two, I clearly knew anatomy and knew how to move my body. So even though movements were new to me, I'd never done yoga before, I had a really good mind-body connection. So I think that that makes for a good teacher because then you can speak to it from your own experience. Mm-hmm. 3, I was super committed. I was there all the time. And then I was, yeah. I mean, like, I'm who I am. So I would imagine I was fairly present and fairly leader-driven in just being a student. So I think she thought that I'd be a great teacher. So I was like, okay, sure. I like thought it would be like a fun side job. And then I'm like, how does that work? And she goes, well, we'll do a 3-month one-on-one training with me. And I was like, okay. I had no idea that like no one gets to do this. It's amazing to be able to do a 3-month mentorship with your teacher alone, you know, like one-on-one. So we would meet for hours and like discuss philosophy and go through the sutras. And I had to write papers and we had to, and it wow. like completely flipped my world upside down. I had no idea what I was signing up for. It was a very big surprise and completely shifted the course of my life.
And what was your mindset in terms of dancing at the time?
Well, I mean, it was like clear that I wasn't going to be in some like big company. And I was doing both dance and musical theater stuff because I was like singer actress person too. Just dance was always my first love. And I had been back and forth in New York and I had been auditioning and I actually got a tour and was booked for a tour and then had like not a panic attack about it, but was kind of like, this actually isn't what I want to be doing because I didn't want to get on a bus and be on the road with musical theater people. No offense, musical theater people, love some of you, not every one of you in like living with. It's like not my scene really. And I just really wanted to be in New York and I really found myself being gravitating much more toward yoga. And so I didn't take this tour. I didn't go.
But like YOLO, you went for yoga. I'm into that.
There you go.
So then what? What happens next in the life of Bethany Lyons?
Okay. So then this is all like on top of each other, but I worked for a startup company. I became the marketing director for a startup company. I moved to California for a short stint, lived out there because now my husband John was out there. I started teaching spin out there. That's how I actually ended up teaching spin. So I was working at a studio that had both yoga and spin, and so I was teaching yoga there, and they're like, "You should teach spin." This just keeps sort of happening to me.
People just keep telling me,
"Hey, why don't you do this?" And I'm like, "Okay, sure." And then I came back, and I had been an instructor at Crunch. I had auditioned after I had done my teacher training and was hired. Then I started teaching everything under the sun for them. And at the time, the group fitness, I guess he was the manager at the time, Mark Santa Maria, was meeting with all the instructors. And so I went in and I said, well, you know, on top of being an instructor, I also like have a degree in you know, advertising, and I do this and I do that. And, you know, I have a brain in gray cells and would love to use it and like love your company. I loved that Crunch was no judgments. That's their tagline. And it was very inclusive. And we had like all different types of instructors and different body types. And that's how classes were too. Mm-hmm. I really liked that. And I loved being able to facilitate health for, you know, all different types of people. So after that, I became a coordinator for one club. A couple months later, I became a coordinator for a second club. And then a couple months later, I became a coordinator for a third club. Plus, they asked me to be the regional manager. And at the time, I was still the marketing director for another company and teaching like 8 times a week.
So you're pretty lazy.
I was very lazy. And I was living in Inwood, which for those of you who don't know, is 200th and Broadway. It's like, it's a different country. I called it Spain, even though that makes no sense. But I was like, it's so far away. And so I would take like a suitcase in the morning. I had like a rolly bag. Like I was literally coming from like New Jersey. Like,
hey.
I knew that would get you. But I would have like my rolly bag with my spin shoes and my microphone and like 50 outfits and like my whole day planned out. And and then I became the regional manager for Crunch. Ran 4 different clubs as a coordinator. Then I did all the hiring of all the instructors. And a lot of mentoring and a lot of community building, and then a lot of dealing with members who were normally not happy when they were talking to me.
Do you have any crazy stories? Like, what would people get really mad about at Crunch Gym? What were they like?
Well, I think, like, I mean, in any club, I wouldn't just say this is Crunch specific. Right. Crunch is great and I love them.
Agreed.
Anytime you change anything, human beings get upset. You change like literally anything. So, and Crunch is known for innovative entertainment fitness, right? So the schedule is a constantly changing mechanism. Besides the fact that instructors, you're dealing with like 300 instructors,
wow,
you know, and so things are constantly moving and changing and whatever, and people would lose their minds if you changed a schedule, you know, 15 minutes or their instructor is no longer. I'm like, well, that instructor moved to Atlanta and had a baby, so
he can't make it for the 3 p.m.
Yeah, I don't know what you want me to do. I mean, I would have to sit with people that would cry for like a very long time. Different clubs. Upper West Side was definitely the one that I really needed to like sit and just really listen to people. Really listen.
So you're also a therapist.
100%. I am a therapist. I still am.
But I get that. I mean, as someone who takes group fitness classes, like,
I get it.
When the day that I found out that my Matt Pistorius was moving to Florida, I for sure cried, and I definitely went to his last class, and I think we all cried. And then then you were the first ever, correct me if this terminology is wrong, but you were the first ever instructor at SoulCycle.
Correct.
Like a certain location, like the first SoulCycle instructor.
I was the first hire.
Okay.
I was the first hire because originally there was Julian Elizabeth, who owned the company, and then also Ruth, who then went on to own Flywheel, and she was an instructor. So
got it.
I was headhunted at Crunch because they were opening up this spin studio in Candlelight that originally it was being sort of touted as like yoga on a bike. That was, you know, kind of the mindset, at least, and, you know, making it very different. And so I always taught like that. I didn't teach like a classic. Everything of mine was always like some sort of weird dance yoga hybrid, right? So like my chisel class was like not a straight up sculpt class. I mean, straight up it was like a dancer warm up with like dance moves in there somewhere. And then my spin class, I always taught almost like a motivational, like a yoga class, like Baptiste Yoga, our methodology that we use at the studio on a bike to a kick-ass soundtrack. I mean, it's like, I didn't have it like, we're going to do race day, and now it's going to be hill day. Because that's like it's not what I was passionate about. What I was passionate about was facing a challenge. And then, well, what do you want to do about that? Or how do you want to approach it? So like, let's put resistance on and then mirror that to something that's happening in your life. Or, you know, being able to be in the struggle of something new or something that is physically uncomfortable and being able to stay with it, to breathe through it. I mean, that's what we have to do in life. So that's like, that's how I taught spin. So anyway, that's how they hired me. And then I was the longest tenured instructor there for a very long time. I have, February is when I ended this year.
Did you know? So obviously SoulCycle is massive now. Did you know when they came to you, were you like, hell yeah, I believe in this. This sounds like it's going to be huge. Because at the time it was these three women saying, hey, we're teaching in like an alleyway, basically.
It was like the back lot.
You down with that?
Rear lobby.
And you had a great job.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I thought it was a really cool idea. I thought that there wasn't any reason why it couldn't work. And I didn't know why there weren't really popular spin studios here, because there were in LA. But 1,000% did I know that like we were going to go from an IKEA desk and like Julie Elizabeth and I like spraying shoes to this being this multi, you know, $1 million company. No. And it was a great learning experience for me to get to see, you know, entrepreneurs and female entrepreneurs go from that, like literally one IKEA desk in some like weird little back room where we all had to like change. We had one bathroom, no showers, and what they put their attention on, what they chose to focus on and what they chose not to focus on, and how they chose to do things. Well, instead of focusing on what everyone else did, they focused on what they wanted to do. And it was great learning for me. And I was, you know, right in the beginning, they wanted me to be full time, and I was working for a marketing company. I like had all this, then I was the regional manager for Crunch. And I also didn't want to be a full time spin SoulCycle instructor.
Right.
That was not, I loved it. I had a great time doing it. I learned a bunch from it, but it was never my number one.
Yeah, so you talked all about how you did this yoga training with your teacher and all that, but now all of a sudden you're teaching at Crunch and doing yoga there. You were teaching quite a bit of yoga there.
Yeah, I taught for maybe 6 years before I went to my first Baptiste training. So the style that I was trained in was Baptiste yoga, but it wasn't technically like the man, you know, like the institute. And I had tried a bunch of different styles. I would go to all different types of classes, and then I never got what I got from a Baptiste teacher or a Baptiste inspired teacher. And so after teaching for like 6 or 7 years, it's like, I should really go train with like Baron, with the guy.
And
so
Baron is Baron Baptiste.
Baron Baptiste. And Baron is, his parents really brought yoga to the US in a lot of ways. They were like the first health and wellness center in San Francisco. His mom was like doing 30-minute headstands into her 90s. Like,
same.
They were totally just like you, Allie, except you're not in your 90s. They were pioneers. And then Baron took, he had studied with Iyengar. He had studied with Bikram. He studied with a bunch of really, you know, seasoned and amazing yogis. And he kind of pulled everything out of all these different things to create this style, which is really physical, really accessible, I think. It's very adaptable and modifiable. And he also took, like, his dad was, I don't know if it was Mr. Universe or his dad was in, it was like a big bodybuilder,
wow,
like weightlifter also, which was like a pioneer at the time in that. So he also took that training. He used to train the Philadelphia Eagles doing yoga.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah. He used to be on staff for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Wow.
He was like the yoga dude doing yoga with the football players. So anyway, so I went to train with him. I think that was 2006 or 2007. And I mean, again, was like a whole other shift for me. And then from then on, I mean, I did level one, level two. I did all of his programs and eventually started teaching for the inst. I mean, I've done like, I don't even, 1,000 hours of training, more than that, with him.
So tell me a little bit more about Baptiste yoga. I don't need to know all the nitty gritty, but you said, you mentioned that it's accessible. What does that mean?
I think that there's a lot of mysticism around yoga and a lot of like, ooh, that's kind of for weird. It's becoming more mainstream,
right.
But there is still this whole like Om Shanti Shanti, there's incense burning everywhere and there's ganaches and what is this Shiva with this ring of fire, and you know, and for people who, I don't know, maybe I'm like, I'm a runner, I'm a triathlete, I'm a boxer, and I'm interested, but I'm like not, I'm not wanting to fully commit to like this whole lifestyle. I think that's what comes with yoga sometimes, this whole like you have to do all of these things in order to do yoga, to practice yoga. And so I think what he did is took a lot of really heady concepts and philosophy and made it very digestible. And so Baptiste yoga is broken down into three practices and techniques. There's meditation. And what we do in meditation in Baptiste yoga is very much a physical scan, like a body scan meditation. It's very simple. Second thing is asana, which is the physical practice of yoga, which most people, when you say, oh, do you do yoga? They mean, do you like physically do poses? But yoga is a whole other thing. I mean, like there's many limbs to yoga. Then the third thing is inquiry, which is delving into like actually what you were talking about earlier, like why am I not reacting in a crowd in New York City? Why am I not reacting? Oh,
why am
yeah.
I not punching people?
Right. Why am I not punching people in the face? Oh, because I've done some work on myself. You know, where you're sitting with uncomfortable, and instead of like just being in reaction mode, I tend to kind of explain it like, if you look at a snow globe, you know, shake up a snow globe, I think people who don't have any self-awareness or haven't done any work like this, it can feel like you're kind of in the snow globe. Whatever is happening is just sort of happening around you and you're in the midst of chaos. And I think what yoga and meditation and asana practice and inquiry work allows us to do is take a step back and see the snow globe. It's not that the stuff isn't still happening, but okay, well, I could choose differently. And so that's what, you know, that's what he did. But the practice itself, the physical practice of it is also, it's not Cirque du Soleil. I don't know. We're not about, not that those things aren't great, but we're not like heavy into crazy weird binds and really, you know, interesting creative sequencing. It's a very straightforward, very physically rigorous, challenging, yet accessible and modifiable practice. So what I mean by that is I can have a football player in class who's never done yoga before and who seems like really, and I can have a CrossFitter who's like so tight, right? And I can shorten or lengthen their stance as needed, bend, you know, one guy's knees a little bit, take another person's hands wider and adapt the poses so that they can do it. Just like we had a woman today in this morning in class that you were in that's 8 months pregnant doing the same class that you're doing.
Yeah, and probably like, killing it way more than I did. I was mastering child's pose this morning.
Sometimes that's the pose to master.
Yeah, and I killed it. You were like, all right, now warrior one. I was like Shavasana, actually.
You did not do Shavasana. I would have called you out. Stop.
I know. That's what's fun about your class is that it's so hard and there's no hiding that you always find me and adjust me. But that is what I love, and I think that for a lot of the people who are listening who are runners, it is such a good, of course, physically, it's such a good complement to running, but it is still so hard. Like, Bethany Lyons yoga is not rest day yoga. Obviously, like she said, you can modify anything. You can always make class as easy or as challenging. There's always ways to make a pose.
Yeah, but it's not a restorative practice.
No,
we're not like
so
hanging
hard.
Out on blankets and blocks and stuff. No, 100% not. I mean, rigor, like a vigorous practice is what we're really about.
Yeah,
and I
time.
And what I think speaking about just like modifiable and adaptable, Baron said something the other day. I saw a quote of his and it was like, Baptiste yoga isn't for everybody. Baptiste yoga is for anybody.
Oh.
And it's like so, that. But it's like actually true. Like you may, like it might, we might not be your practice. You know, some people really love a different style or a different kind of teaching and that's awesome. And we're very inclusive. Like, and we're for anybody. So you're like the person who's never done yoga before. That's why I like it, because I was that person.
Yep. I was too.
Totally. And I was, and I've had so many people that are like, I'm just not really that into yoga. Or I just like that. I'm not that kind of person. I've had that said to me. or I'm not flexible enough for sure has been said to me so much. Mm-hmm. And our style that we practice, this Baptiste yoga at Lion's Den, is for all those bodies, all those people.
Right. So I never intended to have a yoga practice. I'm also pretty sure that when people called it a yoga practice, I thought they were being pretentious douchebags. I was like, oh my God, like, why are you being so weird? And then again, like, fast forward a couple years and I started being like, well, my yoga practice is really improving. And like, it's called a practice because there's no like end game. You're always working on it. You're trying to get better. And
it's the mountain with no top. It's the same thing as running. You're always looking to, you know, bring down your time and how can you work? Like, what are you working on with it? And there's never, you've never hit the pinnacle. You're never right. done, which right. is so frustrating and so awesome.
Yeah. And just like running, I am coming off, I had like the best running week of my life 2 weeks ago. I was like on such a high. Every run felt amazing. I was like dropping times I had never seen before.
And Allie's been doing yoga this whole time too. So.
Yes, of course. But then last week was like the worst running week of my life. Like could not put one foot in front of the other. And I'm like, what the hell? So it's kind of, you know, it's a constant, like, up and down. You never know what any given run is going to do. And yoga is the same. Like, I think that I've mastered crow. And today I was just, like, shaking and wobbling. And I eventually just belly flopped out of it because I was like, whatever, dude. This is not happening for me today. So.
Hey, relax with what is.
Namaste, you know? Man.
That's how it is. You have improvements and then you plateau. And then you learn something new. It's like you learn new techniques. You learn new things about your body. You learn what works, what doesn't. Same thing.
Well, much in the way that you never planned on owning a yoga studio and being a yogi, I never planned on that either. Mm-hmm. I basically, you and I had become friends and when you were teaching at SoulCycle. So mm-hmm. I'd taken your classes at Crunch. I guess I never finished that story earlier. And then you started teaching at SoulCycle.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, that place with the expensive spin classes. Yeah, I'll do that. That sounds cool. It like took exactly zero convincing. I was like, how much is it? 1 month's rent for a class? Yeah, sure. That's fine.
That's fine.
I can swing it. I'm making great money. I work in publishing. And I don't have a master's from Syracuse. So it's like all good.
I do not have a master's. Oh, my goodness. Hyperbole on this girl.
So we got to know each other at SoulCycle. And that is when I also got super duper sick.
Yes.
That was like the worst Crohn's flare of my life.
You were gray.
Yeah.
You were actually the color gray.
I didn't look good. 50 shades of sickly feller. And so I had gotten this routine of going to your class every week. You taught these Sunday morning classes at SoulCycle that I loved, took them up until the very last day. And we had like a whole little community and mm-hmm. it was just the best. Those Sunday mornings were the best. And then I stopped coming because I was sick. And I was like, I mean, I knew you, of course. Mm-hmm. And like we had a little rapport, but I didn't think anything was going to happen when I stopped showing up to your class. I was like, I'm so sick. I can't leave the apartment. Also, like now I need to pay my medical bills, I guess. So I shouldn't be taking $35 spin classes. Fine. Balance. And you were like not having that. You showed up at my apartment one night.
Yes.
Even though I was so sick and I was like, you sent me a Twitter DM.
I did not get your apartment number because a couple of the writers, Sarah and Greg Bard, wanted to like get together for you. And then I said, well, what if we like brought a class to her? And he's looking at me like, what? And I'm like, just trust me. And then I went to the manager. I was like, I need the spray that you guys spray between classes. And then I need a candle. And then, you know, all of that. So I could create the ambiance and environment and bring you soul.
It was the nicest thing. So it sounds weird. Like, Brian walked in.
It was a little weird.
So Bethany
shows
up. Oh,
I also brought blindfolds.
Yeah, Bethany shows up at my apartment with our friends, Greg and Sarah. And she's like, hi, it's me, Bethany Lyons, your spin teacher. And I'm like, what's happening? It was like a Wednesday night. I was so sick. And I just didn't want visitors because I was in a bad place, like mentally and physically. It just wasn't good. But Bethany does not take no or even maybe for an answer. So she shows up at my apartment and she's like, lights a candle, puts on this playlist on these little SoulCycle speakers that she gave me, brought me a SoulCycle tank top. It was my first piece of Soul branded apparel, so I felt super cool. She was like, put this on, put this blindfold on, sit on your couch, close your eyes.
And then then Greg and Sarah sat on either side of you so it would like mirror that yeah. you were like next to people. All of them blindfolded.
And then she walked us through a spin class, like just visualization, like, listen to the beat and pretend you're pedaling. And so we're doing this. And I was like a little weirded out, but so touched. And then I settled in. I was like, all right, this is like awesome. And then Brian walks in.
He thought I was the weirdest person.
He walks in, like, coming home from work at night, and he sees these three blindfolded people on his couch, and he's like, when did this become, like, a cult hub?
I was like, do you want to join us? I have another blindfold. He's like, no, I'm good.
He locked himself in the bedroom until we were done. So it was, but like, that's such a testament to Bethany's character that A, she's like, doesn't take no for an answer, but B, like, just cares, you care so much about the people around you. And it really helped me. I literally woke up the next morning and I was like, I am done feeling sorry for myself. And that was when I started, like, today I will walk to the elevator. Tomorrow I will take the elevator to the lobby. Then I will step outside. And it was like, it was such baby steps, but that was what it took for me to start making them. And eventually, of course, I got healthy again and I came back to your class and yeah. I went in the back row, which is not where Allie Feller chooses to ride.
No, unless there's a sub.
Throwback.
Unless there's a sub and then she's way in the back row and pissed.
Whatever. So that day, I went in the back row because I was just like, I wanted to be near the door in case I needed to use the bathroom. I was still pretty sick, but mentally I was ready to be back. And I remember during the last song, and I was so weak, and I was just like this tiny little thing. I had lost 30 pounds.
She was like the tiniest person.
I couldn't get my leg up on the bar to stretch at the end. But I remember during the last song, you screamed out, Allie, this is a victory for you. And I was like snot in the towels, which I know is your like greatest pet peeve.
No, I don't. No, I'm fine if someone just like chooses when there's a tissue next to them to choose to actually just use towels as a tissue when there's tissues available, then I'm
yeah,
like,
but what are you going
to
do?
You just use the towel. That's not a pet peeve there.
So I'm not going to get off my bike and walk to the front and grab a tissue. Like, I was too busy crying. I was weak. I couldn't make it that far.
That is what that towel's for.
Thank you.
Crying and snot, man.
So I cried snot tears into the towel. But it was so meaningful, and it was exactly what I needed to get me back on my feet. And that brings me to the fact that after that, I was like, all right, well, like, this chick and I are friends. Like, before, she was my fitness instructor, but, like, I feel like she wants to be my best friend now. Normally, it's the other way around. The student tries to make the teacher be friends. Bethany's laughing because she's like, this is so not true. I was just trying to be nice. Like, I wanted your $35. We were hurting without the feller income going into the company.
No.
But very soon thereafter, the next year, you, and actually that night that you came to my apartment, you told Greg and Sarah and me, you said, I'm opening a yoga studio.
Oh my God, that was that same night. I remember, and it was brand new.
And I remember having three thoughts. Number one, I think I have to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Number two, wow, Bethany, I'm like so happy for you. That sounds amazing. Number three, shit, now I have to do yoga.
Right. That was a lot of people's reaction, actually. They were like, oh no, now I have to do yoga.
Yeah, and that's how you got me. Is you were like, I'm opening a yoga studio, and of course I wanted to support you. And I had done some yoga. I had gone to at Crunch, actually. I had taken their yoga. And their yoga I loved because, it was very accessible, and it felt like...
They were all different styles. Yeah. There and different teachers.
And it was like people who go to the gym to work out, and they're like, oh, there's a yoga class happening. I'll take it. It wasn't, you know, it never felt intimidating, which was really important to me. So then you say you're creating a yoga studio, and I'm like, ugh.
Okay. Oh, no. Well, like, now that's part. That was actually a lot. I would have a lot of people that said, well, I'm going to come to one, you know, want to support you. And then, you know, 100 classes later.
I know.
Like, well, I guess that worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I opened the studio because, well, I was in a good place. I mean, like, I had a great job and had great coworkers and, you know, really liked what I was doing. And I was kind of at the ceiling of it. Of learning for me, mm-hmm. I felt like I was kind of like, okay, I can do this job now in my sleep, and that never works well for me. I always need to be, I don't know, candle at both ends and all that stuff. That's kind of, I want to be challenged constantly. And so I'm like, oh, what would be challenging? Why don't I open a yoga studio in the most saturated, most expensive city in the country? And also, I was tired of complaining that there wasn't a Baptiste yoga studio here in the city. There were, you know, teachers. I could find a teacher here or there, but I really wanted the community because I would go away to program or I'd go to another Baptiste studio elsewhere. And I always loved the people I was surrounded by. It was always people that were like go-getters and up to things and doing things and making shit happen in their lives and friendly and like nice people. And, I just couldn't find what I was looking for here in the city. And so one day I was just tired of complaining about it. I was like, Bethany, you have like all of the expertise that you need to do this. Like, you've been running clubs, you've been hiring instructors, you've been dealing with members, you have a background in, you know, like basically branding and advertising from and all Syracuse, of that yeah. from Syracuse. And then John, my husband, has been running restaurants in New York and opened several of them. And so he has a whole background on, you know, building businesses. So from the ground up, and both of us are, I mean, we're like, we're fairly intelligent people that can figure things out. So I was like, we should do this. And so that's, and then I told him I wanted to open in Tribeca. He's like, he goes, you have picked the most expensive zip code in the entire country. I'm like, I know, but they don't have what we're doing. And I know the clientele there. And I just know it's going to, I just know it's going to crush it. I knew. And then I had two brokers before the third one. Well, my one friend, Lisa, who's also our broker, we were working with commercial brokers, and the first two just didn't get it. They're like, yeah, we're not gonna be able to find anything here. I'm like, you're a no. Next one, yeah, you're not. And they kept trying to steer me to different places. I'm like, yeah, so you're not hearing me. We just need to wait, and we're gonna find something here. And then finally the third one got it, and then we found our crazy decrepit building that used to be a brothel up until like 5 years ago.
It still says burlesque on the side.
Mm-hmm. It was the burlesque. It is the burlesque building. And then it had themed floors and a woman from Shelter Island running shadiness out of it. Amazing. So we did a lot of space clearing and saging.
So I love the story about how you came up with the name. So Lion's Den Power Yoga, it's Lyons, L-Y-O-N-S, which is Bethany's last name.
Yes.
Tell me about that. You say, but why
like,
is that?
Okay, so when we were opening the studio, I wanted to make sure that from the get-go, it was not the Bethany Show. Like, that's not what I want the studio to be. I've only ever really taught one class a day, for the most part, since we've opened, and don't teach some days. We have 27 instructors now. Wow. But from the get-go, we had like 8 or 9 that were on our initial team. So I never wanted it to be like, you know, just all me all the time. A, that doesn't work. B, it's like not sustainable. There's no growth in it. And that's like, that's such small-minded thinking from my perspective. I just really wanted it to be about the whole community and all of the teaching. And so that was my number one. So we had been like 20, I don't even remember the other names. And in the midst of us trying to come up with names, I was at a Baptiste program, and Baron did something where we had to like compete in these little small groups. It was like, choose who in your group is the biggest, the most fully expressed. And so my group decided that I was the person that they wanted to have. And then we all had to go to the front of the room, and he didn't tell us what we were doing. So there were like maybe 10 or 12 of us, different groups. And he's like, okay, you have 90 seconds on the clock. Get us, convince us to come to your class. Go. And it was like improv, right? So the first person went, and the second person went. I was like maybe the third or fourth person up, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my God, I have nothing. I couldn't think of anything. And then right before I had to go, I was like, oh my God, your name. And I like jumped into the middle of the circle, and I like ripped my hair down and like thrashed it around. I was like, welcome to the Lion's Den. And I made one half of the room roar. And then I made the other half of the room roar. And I just started talking about like uncaging yourself and unleash, and we enter into, you know, the fire of the Lion's Den. And I started talking about the strength and the power and the, you know, just like fortitude and the focus of lion, just everything has to do with lions, you know? Anyway, so this whole competition happened.
Did you win? Then,
oh, of course I won.
The look on her face right now.
Yeah, I won. So I won, and I won a shirt. And
congratulations.
It was super cute. And then afterwards, people knew I was opening a studio, and they said, oh my God, you have to name your studio that. And I'm like, no. I mean, I was really laughing about it. I thought, like, absolutely not. That's the most ridiculous thing. That's so cheesy. And then another person, and then 10 more people. And then, like, by the end of the – I feel like 40 people came up to me and said, you have to name your studio that. So then I – told John when it came home, I said, this is what happened. And then every single person that we said the name to were so bought in. It's like, you got that it was fiery. You got that it was, I mean, obviously there's the story of like Daniel going into the lions, like, you know what I mean? Like that, like kind of environment. There's like that whole lore of that, you know, you're choosing when you, I hope this is like, this is not, we're supposed to make this not intimidating, not scary. I'm like, please welcome come to our studio den. And enter the lion's den. But I mean, you're choosing to take on a practice that you know you're going to get challenged, you know, is going to be fiery, and you know you have to really show up for. And so that was, that's how we came to it. And then I wanted to initially not do it with a Y. Like I said, well, then at least let's not have it be my name. And then everyone's like, no, 100%, it has to be L-Y. And so finally I just gave in. And I'm so happy that we did, because it just fits in the, it fits what we do. I don't think that it's, then it's about me. I think it's really a, I think it's a whole, it's its whole entity and a whole brand unto itself. And our tagline is be courageous, because that's what we do. I mean, that's how we show up. That's how we step up. That's what stepping onto the yoga mat is. You know, it's like stepping up to face yourself. And I think that that's a courageous act unto itself. And there's a lot of talk about being fearless and all of that. And I just don't buy that, because
why?
Because I think there's always going to be fear. I think that each of us has different fears, but I think that the real power lies in having fear and doing the thing anyway. That's courage, you Ooh. Know? And so I'm not fearless. I'm like scared all the time and like worried and like sweat before I'm going to do certain stuff and get nervous and all of it, but it doesn't stop me. Like I'm going to do it anyway. Like we're opening the second space in Chelsea right now. And at the same time that we were doing that, the floor below us in Tribeca became available, and we're like, should we do this? And John and I are like, we don't have the money for this. I will figure it out though, because we just knew it was the right move. So right now we're like, we are figuring things out, you know, like really figuring things out. Like it's pretty tight, and it's a little scary. And I think that you have to have the mindset of scary being exciting to be an entrepreneur, particularly in this city. I just think you have to have that mindset that like, yeah, I have to be able to roll with this. And it's not that I'm not afraid that things won't work out or that I have fears around it, but I'm not going to let it stop me.
When you opened Lion's Den, was there ever a moment that you were afraid no one would show up?
No.
Why?
Because I'm a really conservative planner. I kind of have this artistic side, but I also have a very organizational sort of whatever mindset too. And before we opened, I said to John, I'm like, all I need to know is how many mats do we need a day for this to break even, for this to work? And it doesn't end up being that really, you know, like you could have a lot of online sales and no one in one day and then people could party, but whatever. But like, in layman's terms, I need 60 bodies paid on mats a day. That's what we figured out. Like I needed 60 people, you know, with our price and what we thought, you know, rental mat rentals and all that to keep the electricity on and keep the doors open. And once I knew that and I looked at the schedule and just started, okay, well, if 5 people came to this class, if 12 people came to this class, if no one came to this class, and if, then if this class, like if I can't get 25 people in this room, then I don't even deserve to be open. So I figured out what our worst case scenario was, what I needed to have happen. And then it seemed so accessible. I created like a winnable gap really for myself. Like, okay, well, I mean, we have to be able to do this. And if we can't, and I've been in the fitness industry for 10 years in New York by the time we were opening. So like, it wasn't, you know, my first rodeo in opening something up, totally my own thing, but I knew people were going to come. I didn't know that so many classes were going to go the first week. So we opened with a full schedule because I just think rip the Band-Aid off is just a better method of doing things. And so we opened with 40 classes, and I think 37 or 38 of the classes actually that at least a person showed up, which I never thought was going to happen. I thought we'd have a ton of classes that just no one showed up for. And like, we didn't even have our toilet paper holders hung. We were planning on doing all this work in the studio for the first couple weeks because we're like, oh, well, you know, maybe
no one will be here.
No one will be here for the first few weeks. And then like right like out of the gate, we were busy. So we also held like an underground class before we opened, where you had to have a password to get in, and I don't think we had insurance yet. I don't know.
John, it's probably fine. It's probably fine. So John, of course, your husband John, mm-hmm. is the co-founder, co-owner. John, yes. Because you are both now all in on Lion's Den. You are no longer with SoulCycle. He is no longer in the restaurant industry.
No, he was the COO for David Burke Group, and then became Craveable Hospitality. And he left his full-time job in October. So we're kind of new at being full-time. I mean, he was like moonlighting with us, right. And I was sort of, you know, the main. And now, and then we started getting so big that I said, well, you know, it's time to do or die here, buddy. You know, like either I got to hire somebody to be my counterpart and like a real person, or it's time for you to jump ship. So, and he wanted to, you know, like he really wanted to. So now we're both full-time, and it's cool, and it's interesting, and it's hard, and it's challenging, and it's fun, and it's all on top of each other. And but we're good counterparts, you know, like he's in charge of our day-to-day operations and creating systems for the front desk. He's in charge of payroll. Thank God. I'm so happy I don't have to do payroll anymore. I used to have to do payroll all the time for Crunch. It was like my least favorite. I'm in charge of programming and teachers and scheduling and, you know, the aesthetic of the studio and finding new spaces and where we're going to go next and branding and all of that.
Are there ever like big fundamental things that you disagree on? And if so, how do you handle that?
So I'm the CEO and John is the COO, CFO. And so if it gets down to like, I think it should be X, I think he thinks it should be Y.
It's X.
X wins. And we set that up from the get-go, right. Because it needed to, like it needs to be, and there really hasn't been anything like insanely. I mean, like I'm not going to go and like sign a lease without him, you know, but like, he did sign Chelsea. Like, so Chelsea, he'd never seen the space. And we signed a 15-year lease.
Wow.
Because I said, this is the space. And he trusted me.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
So it's like that. You know what I mean? Like, he just was like, okay, great. This is what we're doing. And then we put down for 15 years. But he'd never even seen it until we were already locked and loaded. So I'm glad he likes it.
Yeah. Here, John, I got you a yoga studio. Hope you like it.
Hope you Welcome. Like it.
So then what is your, because of course you, in addition to owning the studio and teaching yoga, you, I assume, also like to practice yoga. Mm-hmm. When do you do that?
Well, like for example, this morning I practiced at 8:15 and then I changed my clothes, still a quick-o change-o, and then I taught at 9:30. I try and schedule it. I mean, I can practice a lot more at the studio now than I used to be able to. When we first opened, I just couldn't not be the studio owner in class. So it was really affecting my practice in the studio because either the teachers were newer or just I'm their boss, and so I made them nervous. And so then that wasn't fun for anyone because then I'm in class and I'm going, okay, this class would be better if I wasn't here. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, that's upsetting to me. Or I would be in class and then see, oh, the paint there isn't right. Or, oh, the saddest thing that needs to, like, just I would see everything that was like wrong with operations and at the studio and just need to fix it.
Yeah,
and
so, you should set your drishti.
I should have set my drishti. I was lacking in it.
I can help you.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And so, I would practice a lot at home then when and do podcasts. Actually, I do a lot of classes with other Baptiste teachers from all over the country, actually all over the world, that I have recordings of. And then I just practice. I have like, we actually have a back room in our apartment that we called the den before we ever opened the den.
That's funny.
So yeah, it is. And so I practice there, but now I can practice at the studio without it being tumultuous for me. Not always, still sometimes. You know, it's like, it's hard. Like, I don't know, today in class, I knew a woman who left early during the class I was in and like wanted to check in on her. So I did. And I also didn't let it take me out though. Like I handled it and then I came right back in and then I was like, wheel pose. Boom. I'm right back in class.
So what do you do when you just, I mean, we all have those days where, like, we don't feel like going to work. We don't feel like writing that story. We don't feel like...
doing anything.
Yeah. What do you do when, or do you have days where you don't feel like teaching? Because you can't really just phone it in. I think people can tell. So what do you do, or how do you get past that and teach your best class?
Well, I've scheduled my life around showing up. I mean, I don't really have an option for the most part. I mean, obviously, it's not like I can't sub out or I couldn't get someone else to cover my class if I'm really... But I am about showing up regardless of how I'm feeling. So sometimes I'm really, you know, jazzed, and sometimes I'm really coming from an argument that I just had on the phone with my mom, or, you know, like, you know, just life stuff. And I choose to bring it into my teaching. So I don't ever know if I feel like... I mean... Very rarely do I feel like I don't feel like teaching, because for me, teaching is the same thing as, like, I don't know, talking to you here. Like, I don't really...
It's the best ever.
It is the best ever. You know, but, like, I don't have, like, a... I don't have it, like, well, now I have to be in teacher mode. Like, okay. I don't, it's not a performance for me. It's like, hi, guys. Here's, you know, like, this is just who I am right now. Whatever my energy is, whatever my mood is, whatever. Now, obviously, do I have to, like, put... certain things, you know, on a shelf. Yes, but so do you have to, do that as a practitioner too. And, you know, okay, every Wednesday morning when my alarm goes off, I don't feel like teaching. Every single Wednesday morning. That's, like, because it's an early morning class and Bethany is just a night owl. And so every time the alarm goes off, I'm like fighting with myself. But once I'm there, I love it. So
it's kind of the same as being on the other side. Like, yeah. My alarm goes off. I'm like, I don't want to go to the 7 a.m. yoga class I signed up for.
Practice. And then you get there and then you're like doing
feel
it.
Great
most
after.
Of the time, and... Yeah. And I mean, I don't know any time that I've ever taught and then been like, oh, I really regret showing up and teaching that class. Or like, or I've gone to practice or, you know, gone and said, oh, I really shouldn't have gone to yoga. That was a bad decision. Yeah. You know, it's never like that. It's always the dance of things that we want to do, we don't want to do.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, I want to run a marathon, but, like, I don't want to go for the run. I don't want to. You know, it's like, it's all this stuff. And that's just being a human being. And it's the dance and the inquiry around how do I get out of my own way to make the things that I want, that I say I'm for and that I want in my life to actually happen. And it's not going to happen via justifications, excuses, and not showing up.
Yeah.
So I just... show up.
I love that. One of my favorite analogies that you're full of them during class. They're so good. I remember the other day in class, you were like, I forget, you should probably just tell this once you realize what I'm talking about. You were talking about how, like, why when we, like, when you're walking from your kitchen to your living room and you always bump into the same chair. Do you remember what you said?
Yes, yeah, yeah. I was talking about, like, you have that, you know, that piece of furniture that's, like, out a little bit and you bump into it and then you, like, bump into it and bump, like, why don't you just move the thing? Or, like, the piece of clothing that you took off and then, like, you moved it to the chair and then you move it from the chair to the other chair and then you move it from there to hanging it over the, like, just put it in the hamper.
Oh my gosh,
or just hang it up.
Can you tell that to Brian, please? We have, like, an ongoing ridiculous, like, Insta story war about the places that he puts his clothes that are not the hamper
not
or
the
away.
Hamper.
He'll find every place to put them that aren't
totally
those two places.
We all do that stuff though somewhere.
Totally.
You know what I mean? It's like whether it's the dishes or the sink or the whatever it is, we all have those things. It's like it's the phone call that you won't make that you write down in your calendar and then you think about it and then you think about it 3 days later. Oh, I still have to make that phone call. I haven't made that. And it's taking up so much space in life. And it's getting in your way. So just freaking call the person.
I feel like you're talking directly to me right now. I feel like you just saw my to-do list. And now you're using this.
Allie, just call the person.
Okay, my last question before we get into our lightning round is, what are some of the most common mistakes you see students making? And this is two questions. I'm sandwiching them. What do you tell the runners listening who say, I can't do yoga, I'm not flexible?
Okay, most common mistakes.
I know, those questions have nothing to do with each other, but I said one more. So.
Yeah, that's a little confusing. Okay, the most...
Sassy. Sorry, I didn't go to Syracuse, so
sassy.
I'm not good
sassy
at...
Sassy over here.
Yeah.
Sassy orange woman over here. Okay. Most common mistakes I see are people not giving themselves credit for actually knowing what they're doing. Like a new student will come in and, you know, I'll say, okay, take your hands shoulder width and press your hands down into the ground or into the mat. And they're doing it, and then they second guess themselves and look around to make sure, you know? Mm-hmm. Or people all the time will, I don't know, we're doing eagle pose, right? Right arm under. And then everyone will do it, and then people will second guess. People second guess themselves a lot more than I would have known before I started teaching. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, you got it going on. That's one mistake that I see. Another mistake that I see is going for, everybody wants the glory. Like they want the handstand, but they don't want to do the prep. They certainly don't want to do the prep work. Oh, Allie just looked away shamefully toward the floor. She just looked like my dog Josie when she's begging for food. And then I'm like, you're not begging, are you? And her eyes immediately avert.
I love handstand. I hate the prep. It's so hard. It's so much harder than handstand.
So that's the most common mistake is I see people wanting to just, or they'll go into the more advanced version, the quote unquote,
right,
more advanced version that's like the pretty thing that's going to be on Instagram, except they're like sinking into their low back and it's not integrated and they're actually going to, you know, could hurt themselves because they're just going for, you know, the fancy, yeah, versus like really working towards it. I'd say that's the most common mistakes.
And now, what do you tell the runners listening?
Oh, the runners. Okay.
Who say,
oh yeah, you guys are not flexible. I can't do it. My hamstrings are not flexible. Exactly. That's why you have to get on the mat. You need to be flexible in your mind. You need to have a flexible mind state to take yoga. You do not need to have a flexible body. If you were to take everybody in the class this morning, for example, and line them up at the front of the room and go, okay, now we're all going to do this pose, do you think they're all going to look the same? 100% no. We have like different torso sizes, different length legs, different body types, people who are tighter, people who are looser, someone who's pregnant, someone who just had a baby.
Me, da-da-da. Who's still in child pose.
You were not in child's pose. She's being so dramatic. She was not in child's pose. But like there's so much room for modification and adaptation that I just think it's a poor excuse. So get out of your own way. We have so many runners and triathlon members, like we have a whole team, triathletes. We have a whole team of triathletes who comes. Thank you for that. And all of their times have improved since coming to the den, FYI runners. Yep. So just saying,
if you want to get fast, step into the den.
And if you want to, you know, take care of your body on the other side of things, step into the lion's den.
And with that, are you ready?
Oh, no, the lightning round. Okay.
The lightning round. We call it the sprint through the finish line.
Woo!
Round. Ready, lions?
I'm ready.
What would your last meal on Earth be?
Italian with really good red wine.
Favorite movie?
16 Candles.
Oh. In my head, I was like, oh, 16 Handles, the frozen yogurt place.
No, like straight up like 80s child here.
Yep. Greatest fear?
Greatest fear, not showing up for people.
Ooh. Favorite yoga pose?
I just love pigeon pose. I love all the pigeons. I love all the hip openers. I would luxuriate in them and lay in them all day long. And then for like fun, I love handstands and leapfrogs. I mean, you know I love leapfrogs.
I know you do.
Me love
too.
Them.
Me too. I've learned that with Bethany, if you say you don't like something, she'll make you do it. So this is me on record saying I love leapfrogs. They're so fun.
Sweet. You can be my my person for example and showing him next time.
So rude. You have had me demonstrate before.
I have,
though.
I know.
Like very early on. And I worked really hard and I think you told me I did a good job. What is your go-to breakfast?
Black coffee. Sorry, guys. I mean, I know it's supposed to be lemon water. And like
such a yoga teacher, I'm you're like,
but I just have to, like, I'm such a real person. Like, it's black coffee. I mean, I don't put anything in it.
But, I respect it.
And I don't have an appetite in the morning. Okay, sorry. This is supposed to be a sprint. I'm making it longer than that.
It's all right. It's like, it's yoga. You have to like be with what is.
Good
and,
job. Thank you.
You know, meet life where it meets you.
Equanimity. Good job, Allie.
All right. You're hosting a dinner party and you get to have 5 guests. Who are they?
Five guests. Okay. Five guests. This is a hard one for me. I either want to go with, like...
You can have... Let's do this. Because, like, yoga, like, namaste.
Yeah.
You can... Let's... What's your one dinner party that you're thinking in one brain, and then...
Okay, so my one is, like, just, like, my family. Like, I... Like, my parents, and then my, like, second and third set of parents. And then John. You know, he can come, too. And then my whole rescue family of animals. Mm-hmm. So we have two cats, and now we have two dogs. We have a new foster that we're totally adopting. So it would be my whole animal rescue family, and then, like, my close family. That would be really, like, my favorite,
yep,
you know, dinner party. If we're talking about, like, people that I would really love to invite who I haven't necessarily had a chance to, like, chat with and meet, etc. Can they be dead, too?
Sure.
Okay. Well, then I would love for Judy to come to dinner, because that would just be highly entertaining, and she was the most talented human being ever. I would love Fred Astaire to come to dinner, because he was the most talented dancer and super perfectionist and amazing human being. I've done so much research and read like 50 books on Fred Astaire. I'm talking only in their first names, by the way. We're talking about Judy Garland.
I followed.
Fred Astaire, but I knew you were with me. Okay. Ayn Rand.
Okay.
Atlas Shrugged is my favorite book in the whole world. And my middle name is A-Y-N.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Who else? I mean, Madonna is always welcome at my house. I've only gotten to dance with her once. And her daughter has taken class at the Den.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But I also Lola's don't know who her daughter is.
But she has not yet. So, I mean, I really just want her to come to the Den, though. But she can come for dinner, I guess. And
you get one more.
I get one more. You can come. You can come with this crew, because it would be much more fun with you there.
I'll be like, who wants to see my leapfrog? Madonna, spot me.
Judy, sing while I'm doing it. Fred, tap dance around me.
Oh, I would love that. And you mentioned your rescue family. So again, we're doing a terrible job sprinting to the finish, but whatever.
Guys, I told you I'm not a runner. I told you ahead of time.
She doesn't understand how this works.
Okay.
But I'm interrupting now to say that I follow this girl on Instagram, Teddy Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And I am like all about her stuff. She fosters all these rescue dogs.
Mm-hmm. She works with Animal Haven.
Yes. And she had been posting this sweet, sweet girl named Belle. And I'm like following it. I wanted to rescue her so bad, but of course not in a position right now to rescue another dog. All of a sudden I see her being like, oh, her new fosters are coming to pick her up today. Who do you think it was? Bethany Lyons rescuing.
You can't get away from me.
Rescuing sweet little Belle. So now, yes, Bethany now has Josie and Belle, her two pups, and and it's awesome. Follow along. Back to the sprint. Or like jog. We're jogging to the finish,
okay,
I guess.
Jogging,
which is fine. Who was your childhood celebrity crush?
Michael Jackson.
What was the last great thing you purchased?
Chili pad.
What is that?
Oh my God. You have to get this. Okay, so I get so hot at night. I'm like, John says that the one side of his body, he has no hair because it's been singed off because of the heat that I generate at night. And he's cold, right? So we can't, like, he has covers. I'm like, it's so hot. We have to open windows, whatever. So he got me for our anniversary this year the chili pad. And the chili pad, it goes on underneath your sheet. It's little tiny things of water, but you have no idea that's what's happening. And then you set the temperature. So you know, like, the feeling of getting in cold sheets?
Yeah.
That, like, is, like, so, like, oh, that's so awesome. You kind of, like, move your legs around the cold sheets. It's, like, cold sheets all night long.
This is the most excited you've been this whole podcast.
Because it's the most amazing thing that's ever happened.
All right, we're going to link to the chili
you
pad
can,
in the show
and
notes.
You can do different temperatures for different sides of the bed. So some person can be on 75 degrees, and the other person can put on 59 degrees and be, like, just chilling.
Chilling on the chili pad.
I've never slept better than since we've gotten the chili pad.
All right. People, go out and buy it. You too could sleep like a happy yoga teacher. Where's your happy place?
On my yoga mat.
Oh, that's nice.
It just really is, though. Like, it really is. On my yoga mat at the Den, like, surrounded by the people and the things and the sweat and the heat and the... Oh,
a lot of sweat.
So great.
A lot of sweat.
So great.
Who is your favorite person or account to follow on Instagram?
Animal Haven, which I have to, like, stop doing now because now we're, like, maxed out. I mean, Animal Haven, I followed so many animals until, like, then followed Belle and then we adopted her. I love Animal Haven. because I love their work that they do. And we also have community classes at the Den that we give money to Animal Haven. So if you ever want to come support the animals and do yoga, you can come take community classes with us. And I also love the dodo, which is like, it's animals, but it's like...
You'll cry.
The best. It's the best.
Yeah, agreed. I'm a fan of both of those as well. Where is somewhere you're dying to travel?
Charleston.
That seems so random.
I love Savannah. I love like southern, like old town, like I don't know, like towns like that that are artsy,
cool,
and cultural. And it's a place that I've always wanted to go, and I just haven't gone there yet.
Awesome.
So, Charleston.
Great.
Plus, there's a Baptiste studio there. So.
Oh, you're good.
I'm good.
And my last question: what inspires you?
People being fully expressed, like people just totally rocking out and succeeding. I love to celebrate people's successes.
And to that I say, bow our heads in gratitude.
Namaste.
Thank you so much for doing this. It was so fun to be able to record this in person right after a yoga class. So got my butt kicked and then got to chat for a little while, which is always a treat. If you are in New York City, you should be going to Lion's Den. It is in Tribeca, soon opening in Chelsea. If you're not in New York City, you should come here to go to Lion's Den.
Straight up, I mean.
Take Bethany's class. She's the best, but everyone's classes are amazing.
There's so many great teachers.
I hope to see you there, and we'll catch you next time.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
And that, my friends, is the very cool, very motivated, very grounded and inspiring Bethany Lyons. I am so grateful to have had her on the show, and as always, I am so grateful that you have decided... Do you hear that? That's Ellie. She wants to say hi. And she wants to say, along with me, thank you for listening to the Ellie on the Run show. If you're enjoying the podcast, I would so love it if you would go to iTunes and leave a rating and review for the show. And of course, make sure that you are subscribed. Just hit that little subscribe button under the Ellie on the Run show icon. That's how you will get all the new episodes right there in your podcast app. Until next week, have a great run, have a great weekend. And as always, thank you for joining me on the run.